Hallelujah. Awesome. Whew. Awesome. Love it. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you that we've been blessed already. I thank you that you've been speaking to us through so many people and through so many things. Just thank you for people's testimony. We know how powerful that is. Thank you for the testimony. Thank you for all the people that have been speaking out about your goodness and your mercy and your love. Lord, I want to thank you for the two people I know of that were healed during last week's service. Thank you for healing that is flowing. Oh, and thank you for the worship. Thank you for the worship team. Thank you, Lord, for the protection that is being bestowed upon that worship team that Stuart saw this morning. Thank you and praise you. And we thank you for your word. So we pray now for understanding for your word, that it goes deep in our hearts and bears the fruit that we desire, because we want to live holy lives and we want less sin in our lives. And we know we gain that through understanding your word and renewing our minds. So we pray for understanding right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Awesome. Okay. Another Old Testament hero. Who said that? Another Old Testament hero. I wasn't planning on speaking on this week. I'd been brewing an excellent message all week on Isaiah 61. And I was getting really excited about it. But Holy Spirit had other plans, and on Friday night while I was in my bed, he spoke to me about Elisha. He wanted me to preach on Elisha and about this account in 2 Kings 6 when him and his servant are surrounded by an enemy. And he brought that to my mind because I said to Nancy on Friday night, it's really funny. I've been thinking about this message all week, and I just can't get into it tonight. Well, surprise, surprise. God had other plans. Went to bed. Here it comes. So yesterday I started to meditate on this passage. And I thought, but Lord, this is the same message I've given about Caleb, and the same message I've given about David, and the same message I've given about Joseph. Joshua, thank you. Started with a J-O. He might be next week. Same message I'm giving out. And he said, yes. Yes. Same message. Folks, the Lord is really pressing home this message about physical facts versus spiritual truths. And we need to get it. I'm thinking that once the Lord says, they've got it, Vic, we might get to move on to someone else. It might be a while. It might be a while. But you know what? He's doing this for a reason. And the reason is it's very, very important. Spiritual truths against physical facts. What are we going with? What voice are we listening to? Folks, if we grasp this about spiritual truths being more important than physical facts, it has the potential to change your life. It has the potential to change your life. Call me arrogant. Call me arrogant, but I think this series has the potential to change your life. And not just because I'm preaching it. But you know what? It's an important, important series. Potential to change your life. And I started off, because I hadn't preached often out of the Old Testament, I started off just wanting to preach about the people. Because I was really interested in the people. But it's taken a completely different direction. And this is now just a series about spiritual truths being so important over physical facts. Completely different. But the Lord had a plan for it. So we just need to get in line with him. So let's go to 2 Kings 6. And I'm going to preach from, read from verse 8. Your homework this week is to see what happens to Elisha before this. But this is what I want to talk about this morning. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place. For thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him, and warned him off, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. King of Israel got saved a few times because of Elisha. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled with this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, "Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telling the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it wasn't to give him a big hug. And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" Well, that's not what I would have said. That's a bit restrained, I think, isn't it? And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. Awesome. So the Syrians are trying to wage war against Israel. So nothing much changed there. What goes around comes around. And it's not going well. It looks as if there's a spy in the camp. All our battle plans are known to the king of Israel. There must be a spy in the camp. All his plans, "Let's go here." And the king of Israel knows he's going to go there, so the king of Israel stays away. All his battle plans and strategies are known by the king of Israel. So he says, "Where's the spy?" Verse 11 says, "Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" Which one of us is supporting Israel? Which one of us has given him the information? Who's the traitor? Who's the spy? Oh, he's on to hiding to nothing because the spy's the Holy Spirit. It's not one of his men giving out his secrets. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to Elisha, giving him words of knowledge. Things that Elisha just could not know unless God told him. See, Elisha is in tune with the Lord. Elisha is in relationship with the Lord. He listens to him and he hears from him. And this is really important when we see what comes later. Foundational to what we see Elisha doing is his relationship with the Lord. He couldn't do any of this if he wasn't in relationship with the Lord and knew what that relationship brought him. A bit like David, a bit like Caleb. Foundational to what he achieves is his relationship with the Lord. First big learning point for us, it's exactly the same for us. You want to achieve someone for the Lord, you've got to be in relationship with him. Guys, we actually have it easier than Elisha. We've got the Word of God that can teach us about our relationship with God. We've got the indwelling Holy Spirit. Not a Holy Spirit that comes and goes like the Old Testament. You see, guys, it's the same message, isn't it? Week after week. It's all about relationship. It's all about having that indwelling, living God. We've got his word, but we need to be in relationship with him while we have that word. I harp on and on and on about getting into the word. So does Sean. Get into the word. Get into the word. You know what? It's no point just reading it like a book. You've got to read it to be in relationship with him. You're wanting to find out about him. You're wanting to spend time with him. See, when you're reading the word, think of it as prayer. And think of it as time with the Lord. It's ways of improving your relationship. You've got to get into that. What I'm telling you in this series will not change your life if you're not in relationship with the Lord. It won't work. You've got to be in relationship with him. You need to spend time with him. You need to read his word. You need to pray. You need to meditate. You need to be with him. You need to be in relationship. Elisha was in relationship with a God. He heard from the Lord and then he acted upon it. Caleb, David, and Joshua, all over again. And we see the king escaping three times at least because of this words from Elisha. Syria's going to be there. Didn't I go there? So he doesn't. So the king of Syria needs to sort this out. He needs to kill Elisha, doesn't he? He needs to get the problem out of the way. Whoever's telling him, he needs to get him. He decides, I'm going to get him. Because see, if he can remove the man of God, he can get at the rest of God's people. If he can remove the man of God that is speaking out the truth and telling people about God and telling them about their relationship, he can then get to the rest of the people. On a typology level, this is a picture of the enemy trying to remove people that are in tune with God. The enemy doesn't want you to hear from God. The enemy doesn't want you to get in the word. The enemy doesn't want you telling other people the word. Oh my goodness. He really doesn't want that. Here's a tip, and I am serious here, folks. This is a serious point. If you don't want the devil coming after you, don't try and improve your relationship with the Lord. Did you get that? Chris is looking a bit, You get that? If you don't want to have an encounter with the enemy, don't spend time with the Lord. Now, I would advise you that you would spend time with the Lord because you'll learn how to deal with these stupid encounters with the enemy and you'll be able to put them down. If you don't want to come up against the enemy, don't get in tune with the Lord. Now, you will miss out on the abundant life that Jesus promises you in John 10:10. But you know what? You'll miss a lot of the hassles of life. If you're one of these Christians that just wants to sit on your ticket to heaven, well, don't improve your relationship with the Lord. This is one of these things that folk could cut out, Craig, and really have a go at me about. Edit, you need to listen to the whole message here, folk. I'm not telling you to stop having a relationship with the Lord. Talking to Marge on the way down. See, if you go into your promised lands, giants do come. If you don't want to go to the promised land, the giants aren't going to touch you. If you listen to God, if you speak out his truth, if you speak out his word, you will be persecuted by the enemy. I guarantee it. Well, actually, the word guarantees it. Now, I don't say that to scare you, because the spiritual truth is that our God is bigger than the enemy. Our God has defeated the enemy already. The victory has been won. There's just a few battles to be sorted out first. But the victory has been won. I was trying to think of the verse. Somebody might be able to tell me this, the verse. Greater is he that is in us than is he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Thank you. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in us. You're my new theological advisor. God's bigger than the enemy. I would advise you to get in tune with the Lord and get into his word. And you know what? Deal with that persecution when it comes along. Because he protects us. He's the one that deals with it. So the Syrian king sends his troops out to get Elisha. And he doesn't just send out a wee search party. In today's thing, he sends out the Challenger tanks. Who cares about tanks? Is it Challengers that used in Iraq and all that places? Yeah. Saw the devastation they did. Chariots and horses back then were the Challenger tanks of today. He's sending out his best. He's sending out the firepower. Verse 14 says, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. This is an army. He sent an army out after one guy. Horses, chariots, great host. If you look at the Hebrew here, host means strength, might, a force of an army. He doesn't just send out a force of an army or a strength or a might. He sends out a great one. Great means massive, abundant, and numerous. You get the idea? This is a big army coming out to get Elisha. I was pondering this. Why did he send out such a big army to get Elisha? Well, obviously because he wanted to get him. But you know the other reason? He was afraid. He was afraid of Elisha. Well, that's what I got from it. Why send out such a huge army to get one guy? King Assyria is petrified of this guy. King Assyria is scared of the influence this guy's having. He sent out an enormous task force. What we will see later, it was rubbish. But what he was sending out was a potential show of strength that other folk would look at and see, wow! I'll never be able to beat that lot. A potential show of strength. No real strength at all. And we're going to be talking about the enemy soon. A potential show of strength. But we see they were dealt with. Well, I'll get you to read it on later. Elisha doesn't even use these great armies that he's got at his. Elisha doesn't use any physical force against this army. He just uses spiritual means. We'll get to that later. The king of Syria is afraid of Elisha. He's afraid of his strength in the Lord. Folks, get this revelation. That is what the enemy thinks of you. He's afraid of you. Why is he afraid of me? Because you've got the living God inside you, and you've got the same potential to do all these great things that Elisha did. The devil knows what you've got inside you. And he's just a big coward. And he wants to intimidate and make you afraid with potential shows of strength. He's got nothing. He's got nothing on you. Because you've got the living God inside you. The enemy cannot force you to do anything. I had one of my most amazing and difficult grillings as a pastor on Thursday night with an 8-year-old. Is it the devil that's making me eat all these biscuits? No, he might be telling you to, but you're eating the biscuits yourself. Now, I was able to explain, the devil cannot force you to do anything. He cannot force you to eat all those biscuits. That's yourself making those decisions. He can't force you to do anything. He can intimidate you. He can make himself look strong, like send an army, kind of. He can do all that, but he can't force you to do anything. And in reality, he's afraid of you because you've got the living God inside you. And greater is he that is in us than is in the world. That's awesome. The power you have available is so much more than he's got. He fears you. He has no real power. He can only intimidate and frighten with supposed displays of power. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels like he sends an army against us. Does anybody ever feel like that? He's sent an army against us. There's this, there's that, there's the next thing, and it mounts up. And I've been there, it can overwhelm us. But the truth is, with God's help, we're more than a match to that. The same as Elisha was. We see what Elisha did to the enemy and his minions. We can do the same. So the army was sent out to find and capture Elisha, and it compassed about the city. That means to completely surround, no gaps. They completely surrounded the city. Now, I'm not sure how big Dothan is, but the army would need to be pretty big to completely surround it. I thought about Arvis. He'd still need a lot of guys to stand and completely surround Arvis. I mean, how many guys would it take to completely surround Lossie? That would be even mere. So I don't know how big Dothan is, but it's a sizable army. It's another indication of how big this army is and how the king of Syria was afraid of Elisha. Huge army. Town is surrounded. And this is when the servant gets up. The servant gets up. And boy, is he in for a shock. He's probably heading out to get the water for the morning. Out of the back door. Whoa! And his restrained comment. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" I think if that was me, there'd been a few sweary words in there. Maybe not. He sees the army surrounding the city and he panics. How are we going to get out? What are we going to do? That's just done for. We've had it. How are we going to get out? And what a response from Elisha. In verse 16, and he answered, "Fear not," reassure him first, "fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. We have more than them." And the servant thinks Elisha has gone daft. He thinks, "All right, my master's lost it this time. There's an army, enough men to surround the whole city." It says city. It might mean quite big. Horses, chariots, the big firepower of the day. Let me see who we've got. Oh, me and you. Two against thousands. The physical facts. We kinda win. Would you agree? Doesn't matter how good these two are. They've no horses or chariots. They've no thousands of men. It's two against thousands. Staggering odds. That's what the servant's thinking. There's more of us than them. Two against thousands. And then Elisha comes out with another stupid comment. Verse 17, another stupid comment if you're just thinking in the physical. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Open his eyes that he may see. The servant's thinking, open my eyes? I can see plainly. I mean, this guy's eyes must have been out on stocks. Of course he's got his eyes open. I can see. I can see everything. It's like saying, I can see fine. Thank you very much. I don't need to see any more. I can see we're up to our ears in it. Yeah? I can see we're in deep, deep trouble. Elisha, there's nothing wrong with my eyes. If there's anybody that's got trouble with their eyes and not seeing straight, it's Elisha. In the physical. There was nothing in the physical realm, there was nothing wrong with this guy's eyes. He could see fine. He could see all the physical facts. But what Elisha's getting at is that the young guy couldn't see the spiritual truths. Elisha was looking into the situation in the spiritual realm. And he wanted the servant to be able to do the same. He wanted the servant to be able to look into the spiritual realm and see the same thing that he was seeing. And then he would have reassurance. He would have calm. He would know what exactly was going on. Elisha knew in the spirit that they were not alone. Elisha knew about his covenant relationship with a living God. Elisha knew that he had an angelic host to help him. Elisha had seen this before, remember? Elisha knew that there was this angelic host there ready to wage war on their behalf, on the behalf of the living God. And he knew that this host outnumbered the bad guys. He knew that this host outnumbered the bad guys. Elisha and his servant saw exactly the same thing in the physical, didn't they? They both saw the facts, but they had totally different reactions. This is where we need to learn. Totally different reactions. The servant panicked and was afraid. Elisha was calm and okay. Why? The servant was looking purely on the physical. Elisha was looking on the spiritual. Facts against truths. Two people, same situation, different outlook. I was at a manager's training session this last week, 9 o'clock till 4:30. It was even harder than normal because I'd picked up Nunzi from the bus station at 11:20 that same morning, night. Well, it was in the morning. 20:20, yeah. Did I? 20:20. Driving through in the snow, driving home in the snow, knackered when I went to bed at 1:30, into this training session at 9 o'clock. Anyway, that's going to do it. I don't know why I told you that. But you know what? It highlighted to me that these secular management consultants have sometimes got it better sorted than the church when we're talking about mindsets and attitudes and ways of thinking. We were given this amazing, new, revolutionary management model. E plus R equals O. E plus R equals O. Event plus reaction equals outcome. Well, as a man thinketh, so is he. All right, okay. Revolutionary. Event plus reaction equals outcome. There is nothing you can do about an event. Just by the very fact of it being an event, as it's in the past, you cannot go back in time, you cannot change an event. You have no influence over an event. you're surrounded by the enemy, for example. That's an event that has happened. It has occurred. What you can influence, what you can directly affect, is your reaction. You can have a positive or a negative reaction with this fantastic super-duper management model. Now, they didn't go into the physical and spiritual dimension of it all, but I did. How you look at an event, how you react to that event, whether you react to it on the physical or whether you react to it in the spiritual, will determine the outcome. Simple stuff. Look in the physical and you could give up, be negative, always lost. There is thousands of the enemy around me. We've had it. I'm in trouble. The reaction could be to run. Reminded me of the time that the Lone Ranger in Tonto was being chased by 5,000 Apache Indians. And they're completely surrounded. The Lone Ranger says, "Tonto, my friend, how are we going to get out of this one?" "Nothing to do with me, white man." You know, the servant could have run and left Elisha to it. He could have just seen the negative. And what it took, that's an old joke. He could have just run if he just looked at the physical and the negative. The reaction of the servant was panicked. Panic, what are we going to do? Elisha had a completely different reaction to exactly the same event. And I see this all the time. People having different reactions to exactly the same event. And you know what? They have different outcomes. Elisha had a completely different reaction in the same situation. It was the same thousands of men surrounding them. It was the same horses. It was the same chariots. Same weapons. Still just the two of them in the physical. Yet he looked on things with his spiritual eyes. And he saw something completely different, which allowed him to react differently, which resulted in a different outcome. Folks, we all have physical eyes, and we all have spiritual eyes. We can all look in the physical. We can all look in the spiritual. We can all look at the world in two ways. Physical, spiritual. In the flesh, in the spirit. Carnal, spiritual, whatever phrase you want to use. You know, the trouble is with a lot of us in the church, we don't even acknowledge the spiritual realm. A lot of us don't even acknowledge the spiritual realm. 5 or 6 years ago, if Stuart came up and told me, "Vic, I saw an angel behind the worship band with a huge sword, the biggest sword I've ever seen," 5 years ago, I'd have said, "Oh, sit back in your seat." Because I wouldn't have even acknowledged that things like that were around. And now when someone sees something like that, I say, "Hallelujah. My worship team's got protection." That's awesome. Sometimes we don't even acknowledge the spiritual side of things. I've got pain. So I'm ill, so I take a pill, so I go to the doctor. That's in the physical. Looking at that in spiritual eyes, by his stripes we were healed. If we only look at things with our physical eyes, we won't see John 10:10. We won't see prosperity and abundance and healing and peace and joy. We won't see an abundant life if we just look at things with our physical eyes. We need to look with our spiritual eyes and see and trust that Jesus has provided healing and abundance and joy and peace and patience and kindness. All those things. Looking at our bodies and our mind, will, and emotions, we see illness, we see pain, we see poverty. Look at our born-again spirits, and we see all those great things that Jesus got for us at the cross: healing, wholeness, joy and peace, prosperity. Elisha, "I pray that his eyes will be opened." We all know his physical eyes were well and truly open. We know he's not speaking about the physical here, he's speaking about the spiritual. Elisha can only be talking about spiritual sight in this case. Open his spiritual eyes, Lord. Let him see what's going on in the spiritual realm. That's a powerful wee prayer that Elisha prayed there. Yeah? You see, you having that? Yeah? Have that prayer. That is a powerful prayer. The most powerful prayer are prayers of Scripture. Praying Scripture is really powerful. Take that for yourself. I pray, Lord, that my spiritual eyes are opened. I pray for understanding. I pray for revelation of the truth. I pray to see what's going on in the spiritual realm. I pray to understand your word, to see what is going on in the spirit. Another useful prayer. I pray that his spiritual eyes are opened. I pray that her spiritual eyes are opened. You don't just pray this over yourself. You can pray this over other people. Pray this over each other. Is someone missing out on something that Jesus has provided? Be it healing, wholeness, depression, acceptance, love. Is there somebody missing something? Have they not had their spiritual eyes opened? Have we not had our spiritual eyes opened to know what to say to them? You know, what are we missing in the spiritual realm that is not allowing this healing, this prosperity, this acceptance that is already there to be manifest? God's not blocking anything from us. There are blockages. Sometimes, folk, it's us. And we've not got our spiritual eyes open to understand something. Useful prayer. In this case, in this sort of context, I see sight and understanding as pretty much the same thing. You know, if someone's trying to explain a concept to you, physics or maths or something stupidly difficult like that, when you get it, when you understand it, what do you say? Ah, I see. It's all about understanding. You don't actually see it in the physical. If I was to take you through a lecture about matter and energy and you suddenly got that E equals MC squared, you wouldn't see it written up. You would see it. I understand it. I get it. This is what this is about. Spiritual sight is a lot about understanding what you've already got in the spirit. It's about understanding the word. What does the word say about you? It's about looking in that mirror of the word that James talks about. I think it's 1:9, James 1 somewhere, about the word being a spiritual mirror. Look into that mirror and see what you're like, rather than looking into your physical mirror. I understand it, I get it, I see it. One of the most basic axioms that we need to know about as a believer is that there is a spiritual realm, and we are part of it. One of our basic teachings here is about spirit, soul, and body. You're made out of three parts, spirit and soul and body. If you don't get that, you're not going to understand a lot of it. I mean, you're never going to get 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 21 if you think you're righteous in your body and you're new in your body. You've got to understand about spirit, soul, and body. Not everything that affects us is in the physical realm. You know what, guys? In the overall scheme of things, what's happening in the physical is the least important thing. It's the least important. Jesus does want us to have health and abundance and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? In the overall scheme of things, it's brilliant now, but in the overall scheme of things, in a million years, it's going to mean zippo. Actually, the physical realm is the least important. The most important is the spiritual realm. That's why I'll often say the real you is your born-again spirit. The real you is your born-again spirit. And you know what? We are seated right now in heavenly places. I kind of get my head around that because I'm standing here. But right now in the spirit, I am seated in heavenly places. The most important thing is the spiritual realm. Romans 8 verses 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Death in this case is not necessarily physical death, although it can be, but not necessarily. But it means illness, poverty, rejection, that kind of stuff, all the negative stuff that's not God's blessings. Life and peace is his blessings and goodness from God that you will manifest from the Spirit. Do you know what, guys? Right now, you sitting here, in your born-again spirit, you've got all the prosperity, healing, acceptance, joy, patience, kindness that you could ever handle or ever need. In the spiritual realm, you've already got it. You've got it. But if you don't get it, if you don't understand it, if you don't see what's in the physical, spiritual even, if you don't see what's in the spiritual, you're not going to get it in the physical. You've got to see it. Got to understand it. Romans 8 verses 6 is E plus R equals O. I'm going to tell that. I'm going to tell them when I go back to work. Now, we don't need E plus R equals O. We just need Romans 8 verses 6. Any and every event in your life, you can go one of two ways. Whatever happens in your life, whatever events you go through, you can go one of two ways. You can think carnally, you can react in the flesh, and the word says the outcome will be death of one kind or another. Or you can think spiritually, you can react in the spirit, you can believe his truths, listen to his voice over the enemy, and the outcome will be life and peace. Romans 8:6 is not a complicated verse to understand. It's one of the more simpler models in the Bible. Carnal, death. Spiritual, life. You know, if you're into memory verses, guys, Romans 8:6 is a good one. It's not long, and it's quite simple. And we would see, if we read on, a good outcome for Elisha. Read it later, I'm running out of time. We see he wins. No surprise. Everybody else who've looked at won. Everybody else who encouraged himself in the Lord won. Everyone else who believed the Lord over the enemy won. It's no surprise. But read it later, it's a good outcome. Same as David and Caleb and Joshua. He looked at spiritual truth instead of physical facts, and he had a good outcome. His reaction enabled him to have a good outcome. The scriptures we look at are very consistent in this matter. I think you'd agree. You know, if we look at these heroes of the Old Testament, pretty similar story. They all kind of follow the model from Romans 8 verse 6. David, Caleb, Joshua, Elisha, all spiritually minded. The other spies, they were carnally minded, remember? What happened to them? Died in the wilderness. Elisha's servant started out carnally minded. Then, if you read on, he had his spiritual eyes open, by the way, and he saw it as well. And that's where I'm going to finish with. That's the good news for us. Don't let this be a message of condemnation if you're sitting there and thinking, well, I must be carnally minded. I would suggest we all are in certain areas of our lives. So was Elisha's servant. But his eyes were opened and he saw the spiritual truths. That happened for Elisha's servant. Guys, it can happen to all of us. If we're not there yet, we can get there. Even if we're focusing on the enemy army, we can change and see the angelic host. That's the picture here. You know, if we're focusing on how rejected we feel in the physical, we can look at the spiritual truths and see that I am accepted in the beloved. You know what? I don't give a jot what my work colleague thinks of me, because the living God says I'm accepted in the beloved. That's the spiritual truth. I don't give a monkey's what my work colleague says about me. Well, we shouldn't. If we're focusing on how sick we are, there's a lot of us there. Change your mindset, focus on by his stripes we were healed. Just needs a change in mindset and attitude, needs a change in focus. We need to go from the carnal to the spiritual. Folks, this is so important. It's so important. Just say this. So important, God even woke me up to remind me about it and preach it this morning. This is really important. We've got to grasp this. Same message again this week. I don't think it's a coincidence that we got the message again. There's folk in here that need to hear this. Folk in here with difficult physical facts. But we've all got the same amazing spiritual truths that we need to focus on. Awesome. We need to operate more in the spiritual realm over the physical realm. And I'm preaching to myself here, guys. I'm finding this great teaching. Because I need it. I'm not standing up here as perfection. I'm standing up here somebody, I think I'm starting to grasp this. And guys, it's making a difference. We need to believe more of what is in our born-again spirit rather than what our body and soul is telling us. Gordon leaned forward to me this morning and said, Vic, it's about voiceless. What voice are we listening to? What are we listening to this morning? Are we listening to the voice of the enemy? Or are we listening to the voice of the Lord? Who are we listening to? Who are we deciding to follow? It's Romans 6:16, isn't it? All over. What voice are you listening to? We can react in one of two ways to anything that is happening to us. Any event, you've only got two ways to react. Carnally, in the physical or in the flesh, or spiritually. How are we going to react? You know, the word says if we react appropriately, we get a better outcome. Who wants death over life and peace? Does anybody want death over life and peace? So we know it's spiritually that we need to think. We will be guaranteed better outcomes. We will be guaranteed life and peace and more of it if we operate in the Spirit. This is really important. I just pray that you get it.